When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Boomer and Geo coming to you live at the Built for Tough studio. But I had, there was a stretch of my life I was fascinated by this early 80s digital pop. And I'm talking about in the 2000s, I was obsessed with this when I first started like going out. And there was a club in the city called Culture Club. And it played all 80s music in like, when I guess when I was 21, so it was like 2003, 2004. We'd go in and just listen to the straight 80s music. And it was great. The commas. I mean, it's the silliest, weirdest music, but I loved it.
That was your era, man.
Well, it wasn't really my era, though. That's the thing. So I was a baby when this stuff was going on. But the renaissance of it, 21, 22 years later, I somehow got into it. You know what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying.
Yeah.
You're a Gen Xer?
You know, I think there is a gap between Gen X and Millennial.
And you're the Millennial.
No. There's like a small, if you look.
Gen Y.
No, I think it's called a Zillennial, where it's an X with a Lennial. And so technically, I'm a millennial, but if you look between Gen X and millennial, there is a group that I feel like I identify with than the millennial.
What's your birthday?
June 10th. It's 1982.
Yeah, no, you're outside of the Gen X then.
It says millennial 81 to 96.
Right, but there's a smaller group in there that I you know, like if they had meetings, I would go to their meetings.
Yeah, the Gen X is the 65 to 80.
What?
Gen X is 1965 to 1980. That's the birth dates.
Oh. When you said 65 to 80, I was thinking years old.
No, birth years.
Sorry, yeah. So let's see. In between. Although now, like, the millennial isn't looked at as poorly as the Gen Zer.
Yeah, but the Gen Zer is basically screwed. You know, it's basically taking all of that stuff away from the millennial.
Yeah, okay, boomer.
Yeah.
So I wasn't
talking about. As these people age, the smarter they become.
Yeah. I feel.
And that's for all of us.
Yeah. I feel that way. In between Gen X and millennials.
Yeah, think about you were running naked across the street in Astoria.
Yeah.
From your apartment to a deli.
For $20, yes.
For 20 bucks. And how old were you?
At that point, I think I was 22. 23.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So now here you are almost 22 years or 20 years later. And look at you. Got your house in Sayville. Got your two beautiful kids.
Yes.
Got your lovely family.
Thank you.
Got a great job.
I appreciate all of this.
Look at you growing up right before our eyes.
So, Zillennial.
Yes.
So, are the micro generation.
Oh, God.
Of people on the cusp of Gen X and Millennial demographic cohorts. Many researchers and popular media use birth years from 1977 to 1983 for the Zillennial. So that's where...
That's you, and you're the Zillennial.
I feel like I'm a Zillennial more than a Millennial.
Okay.
So that's my answer to that. Even though people don't recognize the Zillennial as much, it's been a fight for us.
Right.
You know, for our rights as Zillennials. We're trying to get the word out there, and, you know, it's tough. Because we've been marginalized for many, many years.
Marginalized, okay.
People don't take us seriously.
By the way, everybody's marginalized. Let's face it. Every group is marginalized in some way, shape, or form.
Of course.
Everybody's a victim. Everybody's a victim.
Of course, being facetious.
I know you are. But I love the fact that you brought it up.
Yeah. Yeah, but by the way, and I didn't know you were going to bring this up or do the Gen X thing, so I don't have this audio ready at all. I didn't even talk to you guys about it. But apparently Keith McPherson went through, you know how Scott Boras does the puns for everything?
Yes.
So Keith McPherson did a Scott Boras-esque pun with all of us on the radio station.
Okay. Was it good? Did you like it?
I only heard two of them.
Okay.
And I didn't even hear the one for me. So he did something with you, like, you know, boomer's a boomer, like doing that whole thing.
Yeah.
And then he went after Sean Marash again and called him Morass, as opposed to, you know.
Those guys got a thing, man.
Yeah, they got a serious thing, I think.
I mean, I thought they were both Yankee fans, right? Is Keith a Giant fan, too?
No, he's a Cowboys fan.
Oh, he's a Cowboys fan. Well, that could be the crux of the whole thing, then.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, well, they definitely started. It was Cowboys-Giants how it started. But, like, they're... Like, you know how we'll joke around with our colleagues here and have fun with BT and play the drops and stuff, but then like BT will come in here and we'll give him a hug and talk about everything. Yeah. Like the Morash McPherson thing is not like that. Like that's legitimate
intensity.
There's legitimate dislike that's going on.
And intensity.
Yes, intensity.
And there's no way to bring two colleagues together and break bread.
I don't think so.
Right. Well, Sean would want a slam of pizza, but
see, there you go. See, now you're doing it.
What?
Now you're doing what Keith McPherson is doing.
Yeah,
you're
but I love Sean. Thing. I think Sean's great. Yeah. I think he's hilarious.
Yeah. So I don't think Keith does. I don't think he finds Sean hilarious.
Oh, okay. He takes his takes too seriously.
Yeah. A little bit like that. And it feels like it could be mean, you know, a little mean back and forth, you know, what's going on here.
Okay.
So, yeah, so I guess he did one of those things and he went through, you know, everybody. So I don't have all the audio. You know, because things come to me. You know, just things happen.
Things,
like,
of course,
you know,
come to you.
I'm like a collection area. You know, where just like things just are flowing and somehow end up right in front of where I am.
You're Johnny Scuttlebutt, man.
So
you are.
Yeah. So I got a little piece of that audio, but like I like the inner radio station ball busting fun. I do not like the serious inside radio station teammate on teammate crime. I don't enjoy that.
So, and the thing about it is that you've been around here so long and you've been in so many different seats that you understand the intensity. Like, you felt it with Mike and Chris.
Oh, sure.
That was very uncomfortable for you.
And many people.
I'm talking to you.
Yeah.
Specifically, you had a hard time through that.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, you did.
I did not have a hard time. I was fascinated by their relationship during the times that they were fighting. I did not have a hard time. And the reason why I didn't have a hard time is I wasn't producing that show. If I were producing that show or running the board for that show, I would have had a hard time. But I was with Joe and Evan, and we were just doing our thing in the midday. But
you guys were probably talking about those guys.
Mm. You know, Russ Salzberg and Steve Summers, they couldn't stand one another. They really hated each other for a very long time, and Steve would talk about that openly for years after.
It was actually good to see Russ over at the Giants Eagles game when we saw him.
Yeah, that's right.
Did you see him? I saw him.
You told me you saw him. Yes. I did not see him.
He looked good.
Yeah, did he? I didn't see.
You know
him.
He did.
Yeah, Russ. I haven't seen Steve in a while. Steve always looks good. You know, Steve's one of those guys that just fresh as a daisy when he rises out of bed.
Fresh as a daisy. That's what I think of when I think of Steve, yeah.
Did that get to you at all, Al, the Keith McPherson thing?
No. I saw him previewing it on video, but I don't see it posted anywhere.
Yeah, I don't think it was. And, you know, and also there's like a thing where like Sean doesn't know if he should be firing back or not, like, as he likes going back and forth, but he doesn't want to continue this thing. It's a whole thing.
Because Keith is taking it way too seriously.
I think so, yeah.
Taking it up a degree, as they say.
Yeah. It's a shame. I like both guys.
I mean,
young, talented fellas.
So the bust of balls about sports.
But it's not, but it's getting personal.
Oh.
You know what I'm saying? That's the thing. It's starting to get personal. And then that's when you cross that line. It's like, then it's a problem. Like with Mike, the back page of the Post, where it said FanDuel, and it was both my face and Mike's face, and it said sports radio feud gets ugly and personal.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's when then he was doing the whole, he stinks, the show stinks, no talent, terrible, horrible.
Yeah.
No good, very bad, scumbag.
And you don't have white teeth.
Right.
And by the way, I mean, like, that really wasn't the FanDuel. The FanDuel was you and Carlin out on Hudson Street getting ready to square off.
Yeah, that was another one.
Man, I don't know what it is with you.
Well, each one. Do you really want the explanation of why these things happen?
Those two morons rolling around in the street out in front of the station. These two clowns, I guess, fighting over ratings or something out in the middle of the street, punching each other to death. That'd be more entertaining than the show. I can tell you that much.
Here we go.
That is awesome. Right. Oh God. So we did not lay hands on one another.
Oh, you were close, man. I had to sit there. I told my Uber driver, "Hold up, we got to hold up traffic here.
Yeah,
we got a heavyweight battle getting ready to go on right out in front of Starbucks." $100.
He did get in my face. There was no doubt about it. But there were no punches thrown.
Did he spit on you like by accident?
Oh yeah, so close to you.
Like, you know how he was, because he always had a very
very lispy. Yeah.
Where's Gio? I'll punch him out right now.
That whole thing.
Yeah, you also, the best part about that visually for me is he had just walked out of that Starbucks with a giant drink that had whipped cream on top of it, you know? And he's like, he's hurling towards me with that drink. It was just so on brand for him, you know?
I got news for you. You suck.
And he also, the funny, it was hard for me to keep a straight face is, you know, his whole thing was, I guess I had a line where I said that nobody had listened to CMB or whatever when I was singing a song. Like, I was playing a guitar and singing a song, and like one of the lines was, well, no one listens to them anyway or something. So he got really mad at that. But he's like, you know, I've let you do whatever you want, make fun of me. All the stuff you do with the pop, 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 pop.
So spit was flying at you.
Yeah, and I was like, man, I was like, yeah.
This is college football. Excuse me, this is college football on ESPN Radio. Oh my God. Yeah.
He's a good dude.
No, he is.
And he usually laughs at himself, makes it even better.
No, and we still have a really good relationship, and I'll talk to him. I got no problems with Carl. That was just a one-day thing. I mean, Mike thing's more complicated, and I don't know.
Man, oh man. There was so much intensity around here, you could cut it with a knife.
Yeah, and like, I wasn't trying. You know, I think a lot of that had to do with the fact that, you know, Craig obviously had gone after Mike for a very long time. And then I think when Craig was gone, I think Mike probably thought, like, all right, there's nothing that's going to happen. Now, when I did the Mike impersonation, I was just doing the Mike impersonation just like I did every other impersonation. Yeah. Like Dog and Joe and whoever the hell else. Charles Barkley, whatever it was.
Shannon Sharp.
But he just didn't, like, he could not laugh at himself in that way. And he got very angry about it. So some people do. Some people don't. Some people do. Well, Adam Schein loves it. Adam Schein reposts all of them.
Yeah, well,
he
gets it. You know?
Yeah. You know, some people do. Others do not. I think Dog likes it. I think he laughs at it. But Mike did not find that funny whatsoever.
You're a total jerk.
Yeah. Mm. I feel like we're having a fun. Oh, there it is. Look right
that. There it is. FanDuel.
FanDuel.
I think you look good in that picture. Yeah, look, I like don't. You're heated.
I don't. I don't like the.
You don't like the picture?
No,
I do like the picture.
I mean, I like it catches me. Like, looks like I'm yelling, but I don't look great now.
Well, what time of year was that? There must not have been much sports going on.
Friday, November 9th, actually, is where it was.
Football Friday.
Yes. I mean, but it happened on a Thursday because it was the next day in the next paper.
Tomorrow is the anniversary of this
2018. Yeah.
Yeah, that would be the 6-year anniversary of that back page.
Yeah. Look, so keep this up there, CBS Sports Network. It says, the WFAN war between the Boomer and Geo Morning Show and Mike Francesa has grown beyond humorous and turned nasty. A day after Francesa told Giannotti to stop impersonating him, Geo responded by calling the Drive Time host a miserable, insecure bully. So look at the other headlines there. So it was like... Amazon's hot for Maldonado. And don't tell Eli, it's his last stand. So, yeah, there you go. So what will it be, six years?
Yeah, actually 6 years. Today, it's the Friday that this came out was this Friday.
Yep, there it is. Look at that. What a time. What a time to be alive, huh?
Yeah.
By the way, very, very excited. Coming up at 8 a.m., we are announcing a big guest that will be joining us for Boomer and Geo Live at the Paramount on November 22nd, a Friday night. So, yeah, we can't wait to let you know about that, tell you about it. Presenting sponsor is going to be Shinesty, so I hope this guest that we're announcing loves the ball hammock pouch underwear, and he will be leaving that night with a bunch of ball hammock pouch underwear because I can't meet somebody.
Oh, he has no idea. He has no idea.
And I can't let someone come to Boomer and Geo Live and not leave with several pair of Shinesty ball hammock pouch underwear. So we appreciate Shinesty being the presenting sponsor there. And we also have another one of those things where it's like the Jerry's ball sack game where people be grabbing ping pong balls and running and sticking it into the ball sack
of the ball pouch underwear. So there's a lot of fun stuff. We're not going to give it all away because we want people to be
surprised
by some of it. But this announcement we feel like is big enough and fun enough to let you know ahead of time.
Oh my God!
So we will be doing that at 8 a.m.
This show is brought to you by 5-Hour Energy. Being a fan is a hands-on job, which is why we're freeing up your hands for cheering, jeering, and everything in between. With 5-Hour Energy Fan E-Pack, you'll be fully equipped to hit the tailgate with all the energy you and your fellow diehards need for rooting on the home team. No matter what, just take a shot past the rest to your entire squad and keep the good times rolling. Now available on 5hourenergy.com with the purchase of Stan the Fan 5-Hour Energy. Shipped nationwide.
The Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Feel Good Football Friday on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. So listen to the warm-up show this morning. There is a very interesting potential meeting that could happen down in Tampa. And that is one Jerry Recco and one Tom Brady.
Well, I don't know about that.
How much fun would that be? Now, there's a few guys I say if they walk, because to be honest, you know, the longer you're around sports, you get a lot of great opportunities. You get a little jaded, especially with
you're
younger.
You're not going to be able to get anywhere near him.
Well, hold on. But you get a little jaded with some of the younger athletes, you know, because you're like, I'm older than this guy now, and I've seen this. But there's certain guys that, like, if Tiger Woods walked through that door, or Michael Jordan, and Tom Brady was one of those guys for me. So you think you're not going to get anywhere near him.
No.
But Kevin Burkhardt, the play-by-play guy. Kevin Burkhardt, Jerry Recco, longtime friends.
Yeah, golfing partners back in the day.
I'm going to be down the hall.
Oh, he's so put you in his rearview mirror. It's
not true. We talked on the field in Philly for like 5-6 minutes last year.
And by the way, at the Super Bowl, when he was just there as a fan with his wife.
Yeah, but he's now with Brady.
You weren't with us.
I was not with you.
Never mind. It was me, Eddie, and Al.
And he sought us out.
Yeah, he did. Yeah. So
no, Kevin's still the same guy.
All right, good. I'm glad to hear that.
That would be something.
That'd be cool.
Little picture of the threes.
I'd be happy with a picture with Kevin.
Of course, quite frankly, you know, we're the ones that, you know, highlighted Kevin and his abilities on those Met broadcasts, especially when he sat in.
Are you taking credit for Kevin Burkhardt's career?
No,
I'm
not taking credit for any of that. I'm just taking credit that we highlighted how good he was on SNY.
Indeed.
It's like we highlight how good Steve Gelbs is on SNY.
Hmm. Yeah.
I know that SNY broadcast is very good at what it does.
It's the best. It's the best. So I think that Jerry's going to go over there and be like, hey, I just want to say hi to Kevin. Well, he'll text Kevin, say, I'm coming down to say hello. And then Kevin will give the blessing to you to come in. All the Fox, hey, my buddy Jerry's going to come in just real quick, say hi. And then that's where you get the Tom Brady handshake and the picture.
Potentially.
Oh, definitely. I mean, you know, it's we just went through this. You've done it a million times. I forget how much time there is to kill before these games. there is so much time.
There is time to kill, especially when you get there 3 hours before kickoff. Yeah. That is true.
I mean, I didn't know what to do. I had walked both sidelines. I talked to both general managers, the head coach, the owner. I didn't know. I was like, what the hell else am I supposed to do? Went upstairs, got a little sausage and eggs, ate it.
That's what you're supposed to do.
And I went back down to the field.
That's it.
Yeah. Well, that'd be great. I'm really hoping for that.
It's supposed to be 90 and sunny on Sunday in Tampa.
Well, we already knew that.
Weather guys.
That's a very good point.
It was hot in Florida.
That's right.
Dry in Arizona.
Yeah, you know, my thing is that I was telling the Fox weather guys that if you're a warm weather team and you're coming up to Buffalo or New England to play in December, that is an advantage for the guys that are living in those conditions, 100%. And the other way, it goes the other way, too. So if you're a cold weather city, and even though it hasn't been that cold up here, and you're going down to play in Miami or Tampa or Jacksonville, and it is 90 degrees, that's an advantage for the guys who are living in it.
Does seem to be more extreme the other way, though.
Yeah, definitely, without question. And especially if you're a dome team. Right. So that's why the Detroit Lion victory last week at Green Bay in the rainstorm was so impressive. Because even though Jared Goff didn't throw the ball 30 times, I think he only threw it 18. He was 16 of 18. He was wearing gloves, and he looked like he handled the weather pretty good. And, you know, they obviously, you know, beat one of their biggest rivals in their building, which is about as impressive as it gets.
Half hour from now, less than a half hour from now, the Big Boomer and Geo Live announcement.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Very nice.
So let's go to Jerry's update. What's going on, Jerry?
Brought to you by Hard Rock Bet. Download the Hard Rock Bet app and roll with us. And brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. We heard the Bengals version of the Ja'Marr Chase touchdown last hour. This hour, the national call from Ian Eagle on Westwood One.
Two receivers off to the left. Burrow now flanked by two teammates to each side. Shotgun. Burrow will throw it deep in the end zone. Right side caught. Ja'Marr Chase. Touchdown. Monster night for Chase. Unstoppable.
And it sure was part of 267 yards receiving, but it came in a loss because Cincinnati lined up, and instead of kicking the extra point to tie the game with 40 seconds to go, they tried to take the lead.
Chase in motion from right to left. Burrow, shotgun. Chase sets up on the left side. Going for two. Snap. Burrow in the pocket. Burrow, soft toss. It is incomplete. Right side throw to Hudson. Fall to the turf.
It did, and that pretty much sealed the deal. 35-34, the final again. Ian Eagle and Westwood won as the Ravens get the win over the Bengals last night. John Harbaugh watching Lamar Jackson just crush it in the fourth quarter. Three touchdown passes, a perfect passer rating. He says, yeah, sure.
I mean, what can you say? I mean, it's we have seen it before, you know, and I just think he took that game on his shoulders, you know, like he does. And I appreciate the other guys, you know, with him.
Other guys like Rashad Bateman.
And I'm going to do the thing that you don't like when Boomer does. Was Lamar Jackson asked about being booed? Do you know?
That's interesting. I don't know, because that was a theme through the night at times. I don't know.
Because it also seemed like that activated him, too. So along with the fumble by Brown, you also had the booing of the offense. And that seemed like that got to him and woke him up and put him in another gear.
Of the clips that we have, that's not in there, but I'll skim through it and see if he was asked. Here was Bateman. He's one of those guys that John Harbaugh was talking about. He had the go-ahead, what turned out to be the game-winning touchdown. How are we doing?
I'm tired right now. It was a hard-fought game, but shout-out to Lamar. The defense came up big. We came out victorious.
And that was on the Ravens' website.
The amazing thing is that Joe Burrow and Lamar Jackson's overall passing statistics are almost identical.
Except one's got seven wins and the other one's got four.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of completion percentage, yards, yards per game are within 1 yard of each other, and touchdowns. Both have 24 touchdown passes. Joe has four interceptions. Lamar only has two interceptions.
And we're 10 weeks into the season.
That's, I mean, and then on top of that, you got to remember, Lamar's got all those rushing yards as well.
Mm-hmm. 33 more last night. Here was Lamar Jackson explaining the touchdown to Bateman, which was very difficult to defend.
It was like a 2-on-1, basically. Me and my receiver versus Geno. Geno was, you know, trying to, I believe he thought I was going to run the ball, but Bate was just flying. I just got to deliver him a throw he can catch, and he did.
Yes, he did. On the other side, Zach Taylor knows we were up 21-7, and then we weren't.
It's a good football team. But we expected to come in here and win, and we did everything we could to do that. Doesn't change the fact that I'm proud. I think everybody on that field fought, gave us a chance. Also came on the road to a good team, and it's sickening that this has happened twice to us. That's what it is.
Yeah, they keep saying the Ravens beat them with a last-second field goal last time, right?
38 in overtime.
Yeah, they had that, and they had the loss to the Chiefs they could have won.
One-point loss, I think. Right?
I mean, it's crazy. That's why they're going to be a dangerous out if they can make it to the playoffs. But their defense has got to get – you know, they had guys injured. They got the guys back, and then all of a sudden, the last couple of weeks, they just haven't played great defensively.
No audio on it this hour, but you also had the storyline of the two-point try, two penalties could have been called, nothing was called, and the Ravens wound up winning.
The reason we're saying that it could have been called is because Terry McCauley on the broadcast said they should have been called.
Well, that and the fact that he got the helmet and the face mask scraped down by the defender, too, is an obvious penalty.
I guess I don't see that anymore.
I suppose. There could have been a couple of penalties called. I know he went here, and as you pointed out, a better throw. He might even still catch it.
Yep.
Reporters then go to Chase, who had a monster night, as we know, but ask him this, which only trouble, I think, can come from this.
Are you open on the two-point conversion?
Yeah. I'm always open.
Yeah, so he's always open. So he's just answering the question honestly. Yeah. And by the way, Tanner Hudson had a good game last night. He had a touchdown pass catch, and you know, I think he had six receptions. So it's not like you're throwing it to a guy you haven't thrown it to all night.
So that started Week 10. Week 10 continues early Sunday morning. The Giants and Panthers in Germany. Here's Dexter Lawrence, ready for the trip.
I'm looking forward to it. Just a business trip for real. Just playing in a different country and at the end of the day, still playing football and doing what I love. So I'm looking forward.
By the way, the weather will be similar to Pittsburgh.
Oh, is this true?
Yes.
You found that out yesterday? Chuba Hubbard, by the way, got an extension, 4 years, $33 million yesterday from Carolina. Sunday, the Jets are in Arizona, late afternoon game. Here's Kyler Murray. We know the Jets' record, not great, but we cannot concern ourselves with that.
As a team, you know, their record doesn't represent how good of a team they are, you know, how talented they are. Got all pro guys over there. I think they had a... I think they dominated the Texans last week.
And they did, and they got the win. That's a 425 game on Sunday. Just one other one from this Jimmy Traina podcast, which has nothing to do with you and Sal. So you knew you had the McAfee stuff last week where he says he declined both Trump and Harris interviews. So Traina asked Russo if he would decline or would he accept, and Russo says he absolutely would have taken
it. I'm not stupid. It would get some publicity. I would not have any problem asking him a tough question. I know enough about what's going on.
Fair enough. So then I play this for you and tell me what's wrong with this.
My advice to Trump, listen, you won, you take a bow. Mm-hmm. It's a tremendous, and they railroaded you. They wanted to make sure they got you nailed with that dopey thing in New York with Smokey Daniels, which is a complete waste of time.
Smokey Daniels. And listen, if you don't mind, Mr. President-elect, I mean, I'm on your side. They really tried to screw you with that Smokey Daniels. I mean, jeez, what a joke that was.
Candelisa Rice.
Candelisa Rice. You think she'd be part of the cabinet? Would you bring back Candelisa? She's a big football fan, that Candelisa Rice.
He said that right after he said he knows what's going on.
He does actually, but he just can't pronounce names.
He does. Yes, he does have that issue, but it was kind of funny. So that was the SI podcast that you and Sal were highlighted on, as well as we played last hour. NBA tonight, the Knicks are home for the Bucks. You've got the Nets in Boston against the Celtics. We'll have that on the fan for you at 7:20. Rangers took on the Sabres last night. Fair to say things did not go well for New York.
Driving to the net. Zucker to the front. Greenway was wide open. It's 4-0 Buffalo.
And that was Sam Rosen on MSG.
Yeah, it was a Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen night.
Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen.
Yeah. He's the goaltender for the Sabres.
Igor Shesterkin.
Give dog that name. What do you think would happen there?
I had no idea.
You might just have a stroke. Pass out. It's like seizuring.
Imagine him. You know when you got to read copy and you see a word a couple of lines ahead and you go, oh.
Yeah, yeah.
Imagine he's got to read that in the box score.
Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen.
Here is Igor Shesterkin. Yeah, tough night.
Frustrating. It's just more about like bad day, you know. Sometimes it's a bad day, sometimes it's a good day.
Yes.
Don't worry about it. I'll be getting my contract very soon.
Yeah, well, they lost 6-1. Buffalo four goals in the second to really set the tone. The Devils beat the Canadians 5-3, and the Islanders a 4-2 win over the Senators.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
10 minutes from now, big Boomer and Geo live announcement. We're going to have a huge guest that is going to be a part of the show and perform.
So huge.
I'm really excited about
so
this.
So huge.
And I don't even really feel like I'm overselling it at all. Like,
no,
I'm,
I don't.
I'm like fired up about it. Really fired
the
up
best
about
guest
it.
Guest ever. Nobody I has mean, guests like this.
Yeah. I mean, it is a big deal. We worked hard on it. So excited about it. We're going to let you know what that is 10 minutes from now. The Road to New Orleans with Boomer and Geo is presented by Helix Wireless, connecting everything, everywhere. Well, two teams last night, Bengals and the Ravens. One of them, at least, will certainly be in the playoffs in the Baltimore Ravens. And I'm with you. I want to see the Cincinnati Bengals in the playoffs, man. I want to see that team going on. And I also want, you know, we missed out because of the Joe Burrow injury last year. We missed out in another title fight of potential title fight between the Chiefs and the Bengals and the way that that had gone. And, you know, it's Burrowhead. And then that really pissed off Patrick Mahomes. And then they defended their home in the championship game. And you had Patrick Mahomes Sr. going, "I'm smoking on the Joe Burrow right now," the Joe Burrow with the cigar. So that rivalry to me is better than anyone that's going on in the AFC, you know, with the Chiefs and anybody else. Chiefs Bills, Chiefs Ravens, like, it doesn't compare to the Chiefs and the Bengals. And when those two teams meet, I think it's really the best that the NFL can provide right
now. Well, I think like the Ravens have got a mountain to climb to get over the Chiefs. The Bills also have a mountain to climb to get over the Chiefs. I mean, like, those four teams are about as exciting as it gets in the AFC. You know, Pittsburgh's not all that exciting.
No.
I mean, they're a good team. They're more of a defensive team in nature. I think the Chargers could be exciting. Depending on whether or not, I don't necessarily know that they have all the playmakers on offense, but their defense has been really good. And, you know, you got to love the Jim Harbaugh aspect of what's going on out there in LA. The Broncos are not all that exciting. They're more of a defensive team. And then you got to think, you know, the Jets are a team that they do have players, they do have name players, and they should have big time playmaking players like we saw last night in the game between the Bengals and the Ravens. So, the other teams on the other side, I don't know about the Texans. You know, they got to get Nico Collins back. They got to get, I mean, this is a team that is kind of in it and most likely will probably win the AFC South, but I don't know where they fall.
They're not as exciting as last year so far, that's for sure.
Yeah, I don't feel that way. So yeah. I think the Chiefs, the Bills, the Chargers, the Bengals, the most exciting teams. And Ravens, excuse me.
In the AFC, yes.
In the AFC.
Let's go to Mike in Waterbury, Connecticut. What's going on, Mike?
Good morning. How we doing?
Good, Mike. All right, Mikey, what's happening, brother?
All right. So, longtime listener and also in a football official, high school level, nothing on a pro level. But, you know, you're questioning how they miss these calls. And part of the problem is on the play, I just looked at it again with the missed face mask, is your two officials, your white hat and your umpire, are behind the quarterback. They have no way to see that guy's grabbing the mask. You can't see through someone. You can't be on both sides of a player. And you can't call something you don't actually see. That's the problem.
All right, and let me ask you this question, Mike. As an official, sure. And I appreciate that because I know it's not easy and it's probably one of the hardest jobs, especially when you're talking about the NFL and things are moving so fast and guys are so big and guys do get in the way and sometimes you can't see things. Who has the responsibility to watch the quarterback? That is the referee himself, right?
That is the referee.
Right.
And if on that play, he's behind him. So same thing happened when you had the Vikings game, when you had Darnell. And on that game, all I needed was Darnell to throw for 10 more yards, so I was not happy out of that. But here's the problem. He's behind him. You can't tell if that guy grabbed, like, inside the shoulder pad when they jerked him, and because his head clearly jerked. But was he able to see him grab the face mask?
All right, so let me ask you this question. This is obviously this is an issue. This is a real issue.
Sure.
Should those plays be deemed reviewable?
I think so, because if the whole idea is to protect these players and all these rules are, that is a simple call. If they can see, you know, plays at the goal line, they'll go for those fumbles. That is something where, you know, maybe you have them throw the flag and say under review, because if we're out there for protection, you know, you can seriously hurt someone. We have the horse collar now, which they throw all the time. That is something.
We also have the hip drop tackle, too. They all throw that, too, now.
Yeah, I mean, that's a tough one to officiate, too. But clearly, two big plays that ended up probably costing the games on penalties that we can all see. And all we're going to do is bitch at the officials because they say, how do you miss that?
Yeah, and you know what? I do think if you're going to start reviewing that stuff, it's going to have to be limited to personal foul penalties where player safety is involved, like Mike was saying, because we saw what happened when you tried to review pass interference penalties. It was a disaster. Now, you want to tell me that a blatant face mask that is in no way a judgment call, you can overturn that via replay? Fine. But the last thing you want now is, Oh, we missed holding on that play. Oh, we missed a legal motion on that play.
I said personal foul penalties.
Right.
I mean, they review whether or not they're going to throw a guy out of a game.
Right.
And they did last week.
Mm-hmm.
Detroit.
Yeah.
So they threw their safety out of the game, and you know, next thing you know is you have almost the same exact play in another game, and that player remains in the game.
All right. So
here's what I'm saying. Personal foul penalties, most likely, I would suggest that they go under review. I don't know why they're not. There's got to be a reason why the competition committee and the NFL decided to stay away from this. And I'm not sure what that exactly is, but if you clearly see a face mask or something of that nature, how quickly are they overturning plays now without going to review? They're saying with assistance from New York.
This show is brought to you by 5-Hour Energy. Being a fan is a hands-on job, which is why we're freeing up your hands for cheering, jeering, and everything in between. With 5-Hour Energy Fan E-Pack, you'll be fully equipped to hit the tailgate with all the energy you and your fellow diehards need for rooting on the home team. No matter what, just take a shot past the rest to your entire squad and keep the good times rolling. Now available on 5hourenergy.com with the purchase of Stan the Fan 5-Hour Energy. Shipped nationwide.